Welcome back to the Self Love Lifestyle Podcast. This is my first podcast of 2024. And my podcast in the past couple of years, maybe the past few years, has been consistently sporadic in that I do not always dedicate time to consistently create episodes, though when I have Instagram lives or free offerings, Zoom calls, I will repurpose them into the podcast for you to listen to. But I've been hearing from community members and, people sending me messages on Instagram who are like, "Oh, I love your podcast. I love your earlier episodes. Can you do more episodes like that again?" And so I decided that one of my visions and intentions for 2024 is to show up specifically for the Self Love Lifestyle podcast and to do some special episodes on certain topics that may inspire you, may bring you a sense of connection, and also just to share some of my own process, and what is currently going on for me on my self-love journey. So, with all that being said, I wanted to just start with just a little life update on what I've been up to so far this year, and both in my personal healing self-love journey, where I'm at that never-ending spiral, and where I'm at in professional work and what's happening next with the self-love lifestyle. So, at the end of 2023, experienced a pretty big shift and drop down into my healing journey. It felt like, and I've had this experience before, and maybe you can relate to this. Often in healing, I get to a like deeper level within myself and my awareness of myself and my awareness of my wounds and shadows and what I'm working on and what I'm healing and how I'm holding myself back and all of these things. I have new awakenings, and then I feel like, oh, okay, like I have this now figured out, like I have new footing, I'm standing on solid ground, and then it's like a trap door opens up beneath me and I'm dropped into another level where I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I looking at now? What is going on? And so that happened. That happened yet again. And thank goodness at this point, like I've gone through the healing spiral enough times now where I understand when that happens that it's actually a gift, because I know that I'm going to learn so much more about myself and I will have so much more to offer people, because the deeper that you go within yourself, the more resources you have to offer others, not only as like a leader and guide, but just as a person and as a friend and as a community member. So I had a situation, and I'm not going to get into the details because it is so personal, it is so tender, and if I were to like share everything in full detail, it would be very disruptive to some relationships in my life. So I will just say this, that I had some challenging circumstances happen in my family over Thanksgiving, and what resulted in some really big confrontation fight, blowout fights, which I am realizing is one of, and you can all, I'm sure you, some of you will be able to relate to this, one of the ways in which, like, if we're in family dynamics where things are just like brushed under the rug and like shoved into closets and not talked about, it ends up just blowing up and coming out sideways. And that's in my family of origin been a recurring experience. And so that happened yet again. And what's amazing is that, like, since I'm on a personal development, healing, spiritual self-love journey, now when these things happen, I have so many more resources. So I'm like, okay, you know what? I don't have to match this energy. Like, I can see people are coming and talking from wounds, and I can see people are really hurting, and like, yes, their anger may feel threatening to me in the moment, but like, it's not actually about me. It's about what's happening within them. And it's so hard to stay in the remembrance of that in the moment of drama, but like it's easier to do over time and it's more accessible over time. And so that being said, like there was some big dramatic things that happened, and that resulted in some like repressed memories coming up for me of like really, really dark childhood trauma. And what actually happened, I did spend a couple of days where I was like fully disassociated, which is understandable considering the revelations that occurred. Again, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it, but like it was very, very dark. And what ended up happening is like, even though I was like disassociating, which for me, the experience feels like I'm like somewhat detached from reality, like it's a little bit of a like trippy feeling. And I know what it is, right? So I'm like, okay, like actually this is fine. And this is something that has been a coping mechanism for me from that young childhood age when like I didn't have tools, I didn't have resources. So children, when they're in like severe trauma, will disassociate to protect themselves because reality is too scary and too big, so they leave their bodies. And this isn't just something that we're born with, it's a tool that we create often in childhood. So I've known this experience, and it's not an experience I have often, but I was like, okay, I know what's happening. And like, I know how to bring myself back into my body, and I know how to move through this. And I actually had this amazing experience occur where, like, even in the middle of this big, dark, shadow trauma resurfacing thing, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be such a gift. This is going to be such a gift for me. This is going to be such a gift for my community. Like, this is one of the core trauma wounds that I wasn't even fully aware of. And I wasn't even, like, I was healing around it, but not going directly to the root source because I didn't even know it was there. And all of the work I've done up until now has prepared me and paved the way for this so that I can, like, go there and do this work. And like feel so much more whole and authentic because I actually know what I'm dealing with. And there was a sense of relief there. And because I've been so immersed in healing for so long now, like as a way in which I'm like, it's such a value system of mine, and I receive so much from just continuing to commit myself to my spiritual practices and self-awareness and self-love. And so for healing for me, it's not even just like, ow, I hurt myself, or I had this emotional experience that I need to heal from, or this lived experience I need to heal from. It's actually like a way of living, right? It's a way of living in reverence of myself and honoring myself and getting to know myself and going deeper into my self-knowledge and self-love. And so yeah, all of that is to say, like, I was like, okay, this trauma is resurfacing. It's really scary. Nothing will ever be the same. And like, what a gift it is to be able to do this work. What a gift it is to be able to have this level of awareness now. What a gift it is to be able to do this because a lot of this is actually like generational wounds. Some of it is about my mom, and my mom transitioned out of her body into the spirit realm 1.5 years ago. And so there are things that, you know, I would love to have discussed with her and like processed with her in her physical form, which is no longer possible. But I know that like she's now a guide and helper for me in this. And wow, like it's so layered and so deep. But that's what happened at the end of 2023, and that ushered me into 2024 simultaneously. Around that time, like a little bit before all of this surfaced in my own journey and stuff with my family, I ended up finding a training that just really resonated with me. And I kind of had this aha moment when I led my retreat in September, where I was doing ritual facilitation work. And the whole retreat, it was self-love, but then it ended up being like a whole reclamation of divine feminine ceremony. And it was like so transcendent for me because I was doing energy work as I always had done before, except suddenly I was like seeing goddesses around the participants. And I was like, everything just felt so ceremonial. And like, I'd never been more like in touch with my intuition or like had visions like so clearly. And then I think it's because I spent all of last year doing the Guided Rituals membership. And so I've just been like showing up as a leader in that way more, not just in my own personal life, but like showing more of myself. That part of myself and that part of my spirituality to you and our community. And I think all of that meant that, like, there was this beautiful experience for me as a leader at the retreat where, like, I just was like, oh my gosh, this feels really big. This feels really different. Around that time, I found a priestess initiation training, which is a pathway to becoming an ordained priestess. Now, like, if you've been following me for a while, you know that. I grew up in ceremony with my great uncle Heyoka, who was a renowned medicine man and shaman. And I've been doing a lot of shadow work around what it means for me to carry on that ancestral tradition and like complexities of it when, you know, I did some deeper genealogy research and family tree research this last year too. And my great 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 grandmother, Lolaski, we have a portrait of her, and she was Indigenous, Native American, and was likely, I mean, we don't know everything because this was so long ago and so poorly documented, but like this, what I've learned from my research and the research of my grandmother's cousin, who was able to do a lot of research because he had access to certain documents through his work. And he did work with the government, so he had access to things that would be hard to access for an everyday person. And that being said, he found that likely she was kidnapped. There was like this, you know, horrible thing happening, still happening, where Indigenous children are kidnapped and stolen from their families and raised by white families or raised in residential schools. And it's this really traumatic experience where they're completely detached from their culture and their community. And it's just, yeah, it's horrific. It is still happening. And my great, great, great grandmother was very likely part of that experience. And so she was kidnapped and her family was probably killed. And she was then raised by a white family and then married into another white family, which became, you know, and now I'm a descendant of that. And I'm just looking at this like complexity of, you know, holding that bloodline, which my great uncle Heyoka did so much work to remember the indigenous spirituality and ancestry, and worked with so many different people and different tribes to like really remember and recall that into our bloodline. That being said, some of the work that I'm doing, which is so important for all of us to do, especially those of us who are of like European descent, those of us who have ancestors who are colonizers, is looking at like, yeah, our ancestors caused a lot of harm. And I mean, I think this is true of any bloodline. Like, there are going to be people in your ancestry who were amazing and people in your ancestry who were very wounded and did very harmful things. And both things can be true. And it doesn't necessarily mean one thing or another about you, but it's really important if we're doing generational healing to recognize this and do that shadow work and see if any of that violence or that trauma lives within us. And there's so much more research coming out all the time about how trauma and yeah, traumatic experiences are passed through our DNA, and research about how beautiful revelatory spiritual experiences are passed through our DNA. But that being said, you carry so much within you. And so I've been really curious about exploring that within me to ensure that, like, yes, what my great uncle brought forward, in from our family is like real and true. And also, like, I have this whole other side of my ancestry that is of European descent, and how can I go back to what like predates colonization and what predates the Abrahamic religions and Christianity, to understanding like I know I have ancestry in Scotland. the Ogilvy clan, who were there before the Romans, right? And so this is like pagan Celtic work, and how can I call forward that in order to like heal some of that bloodline that has been really removed for so long. Okay, so all of this is to say, like, you know, if you've been doing rituals with me, you know I try to be as careful and cautious as possible to not appropriate, so that I'm using tools that have been directly passed forward to me, or tools that are universal. Like, you can find smoke cleansing in every culture around the world, and the smoke cleansing that I do are herbs that I grow myself in my garden. And crystals and sacred earth gems are used around the world, and I try to be really conscious about sourcing my crystals in sustainable ways. And you know, all of the magic that I do and the tools that I use, I try to use objects that like have real meaning for me, either through my ancestral lineage, or you know, through specific mentors and guides who have passed things forward to me, or things that are universal, right? And I would love to encourage you to do the same. I think it's a really empowering experience, and part of that is the shadow work. And so I've been really curious to explore like these Northern European indigenous practices, like the pagan people, pre-Roman Christian people who were working with the goddesses and divine feminine. And so all of that being said, I found a priestess training that is very in alignment with like Avalonian mysticism, like Avalon being of Great Britain. And I was really excited to explore that because my great uncle did initiate me. He taught me how to hold ceremony, he taught me how to use a peace pipe, and that is such a specific tradition that is so sacred to so many indigenous people here on Turtle Island, so many Native Americans, that I want to be so like just really tender about where and when I would use that. And I feel really good about really activating all parts of my DNA, right? And bringing forth some of the lineages that have been forgotten from the people from Europe in my family. And so this priestess work is kind of my pathway forward. Just like my great uncle did a lot of work to remember and bring forth the indigenous wisdom of our ancestors who are from Turtle Island, I feel really called to like carry some of that forward, and also remember some of the indigenous wisdom of my ancestors from Great Britain. And I'm just really excited about it. And so in this process, I am technically a priestess initiate, and I'm on the pathway to hopefully become an ordained priestess, which is just so exciting for me, because I realized when I was ritual facilitating, especially at the retreat, and then like reading up about what priestesses have done traditionally, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm already doing it. Like, I'm doing it and I didn't even realize it. Like, I didn't even realize I've been priestessing. I thought I was coaching, but I've actually been priestessing and coaching, and it's just so exciting and inspiring to me. You know, and I just like kind of want to pause here and zoom out because this stuff is really hard to talk about. Like, I actually feel really vulnerable talking about this, talking about my ancestry, talking about the complexity, talking about appropriation and spiritual tools, because I am not an expert and I'm like really only speaking from my lived experience. And there are people who I've learned so much from, especially the community at Minka Brooklyn, who like blessed me so much with their resources on being ethical as a spiritual practitioner. And I just like Minka was so impactful. So please go follow them, because I just want to give them a shout out. And Aki and Jordan and Ashni and so many amazing practitioners who work with Minka. I highly recommend them. So I have to honor that they like instilled some of that curiosity within me, because I saw them doing so much work in that space, and it was really inspiring to me and opened up this doorway. And it's, you know, even though I've been like exploring this for a while, it still is really uncomfortable. And I just feel like I have to talk about it anyway. So there we are. And it is why I feel so excited about the work that I'm doing now, because I feel like I'm really activating a whole other part of my bloodline and doing some real amazing healing to the part of my bloodline that caused a lot of harm, through going back far enough to find the indigenous practices of my Northern European heritage. And it feels really good. And so anyway, that is to say, like, if you have access to finding out any information about where you're from, like talking to your relatives, or I mean, I don't know how I feel about things like 23andMe, like genetic testing. I've done it, and in the research that I've done, I found that actually, like, there are a lot of things that they don't have access to testing. A lot of tribes around the world, and like indigenous people around the world, they just don't have access to their blood, because obviously people who have been so harmed, like, would not want to just willingly give over their blood to be tested. So yeah, it makes sense. And also there are certain lines that are only passed through, like, I don't know the science of it, but they're not going to show your full spectrum of your genealogy. Only the information that they have. So there might be things that are left out, but at least you'll have like a starting point. And if that's something that interests you, you can definitely check that out. But you certainly don't have to. You can also talk to family members, and then even just doing like family tree research online, like even just Googling your grandmother's name or your grandfather's name. If you have records, like, you might find old newspapers. You never know. So it's worth pursuing to just see what you can find. Because in spirituality, yeah, it's a really interesting time to be in this space, because there's so many conversations about what it means to be like ethical, and what it means to be like when you're appropriating other cultures. And you know, I don't know, like, I don't have a perfect recipe for not causing harm. I think that a great place to start is just to look at your own bloodline and go back as far as you can. So that's actually some of the work that we're doing in the ritual facilitator training program that I'm doing right now. And this was a request when I started doing guided rituals back in 2020. And then I created the membership last year that now is a library of over 100 rituals. I started having requests from community members who are like, I want to lead like guided meditations and guided rituals for my clients. Like, how do you know, can you give me more information on that? Or where did you learn that? And I didn't like learn it in any one place. As I said, I've had so many influences, one of them being my great uncle, but also just like so many of the amazing mentors and trainings and communities I've been part of, you know, have influenced not even like probably things I'm not even conscious of, you know, just by virtue of being in this space. And my mom was a yoga teacher, and you know, being immersed in her community, and you know, I've just picked up so much along the way and integrated it in different ways. But the guided rituals, I love them so much because they are universal. Like, the practices that we do in guided rituals membership are so universal and so adaptable to like any spiritual or religious belief system. And so with the ritual facilitator training, what I empower people to do in this is to like learn our guided ritual framework that I feel pretty confident about in terms of like its adaptability, considering I've done literally hundreds of rituals with hundreds of people. And to then infuse their own essence, their own authenticity, their own lineage into the work so that it feels really authentic and exciting to them. So, at the time of recording this episode, we are halfway through the ritual facilitator training that I started at the beginning of this year. I did one in the retreat in September too, but this is the first time I'm doing it online as a 9-week program. And so I definitely have some demand to do it again. So stay tuned if that's something you're interested in. I'll probably open it up again in the spring, like maybe, I don't know, April, May or something in there. But we do so much of that. So if that's something you're interested in exploring in a container like of support, where you can ask questions that feel uncomfortable and you can have support and community doing this work, then I highly recommend checking that out, because you'll also be able to have a whole new wealth of resources and tools to offer clients or your community or your family, or just to use in your own spiritual practice. It's like a spiritual initiation of your own creation. It's really magical, and I'm really excited about it. And so I guess kind of to circle back, like when I started doing this priestess work, it really just felt like a aha moment for me, because I was like, I've been doing this. Like, this is already the work that I'm doing. So I get to kind of just make it official. I get to go deeper into understanding divine feminine work, as it's been remembered from like Avalonian ways and where my ancestors lived, and how cool that is for me. But this specific priestess training like has people of all different backgrounds, and again, like so much of it is universal in terms of the divine feminine work, because people all around the world up until 2000 years ago worshipped the divine feminine. So it's pretty amazing to be able to sit in that remembrance, and sit in that remembrance with a group of people from so many different places and lived experiences and family backgrounds. So that's the update of the self-love lifestyle work. I'm not like, I feel like I'm really on the edge of something new. Like, obviously, I'm doing this new priestess training that will inform the work that we're doing with the self-love lifestyle, but I feel like there's just something that's like, it feels like a bud. This is what it feels like in my, I'm a gardener. And so sometimes I let like weeds grow because I'm just curious to see what they're going to turn into. So sometimes there will be a bud on something that I've just like, that's just popped up. And I don't even know what color flower it's going to be. I don't know what kind of flower it's going to be, what texture. And then it opens and it's surprising and it's so fun. Sometimes the weeds grow and like they're literally just like, they're not a flower or anything like, unique and surprising. It's really just like a weed. But sometimes it's like I've had like hollyhocks pop up and I didn't even know were there, which is like so beautiful. So anyway, that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like I have a weed. I know it's going to be beautiful. I know it's going to be a pretty flower. I just don't know what kind of flower it's going to be, what it's going to look like, how it's going to smell. That's how I feel right now in my business. But also the self-love lifestyle work is, continuing with our self-love coach certification program. I just had a graduation a few days ago, and oh my gosh, it was such a special graduation because these women are so sweet. And in our graduations, we take time to celebrate each person individually. So each person is individually honored in like a very ceremonial moment where we share with them, what we've witnessed in their journey and what we see in them that is just really amazing. And it's so emotional and so exciting and so profound. I love graduation ceremonies. And in this particular graduation ceremony, some of the graduates like just paused and, towards the end of the call, were like asking to speak, and we're just like honoring me. It was so sweet. Like doing like kind of doing the reverse thing where, like, as I said, we take a moment to honor them individually, and they did the reverse thing and like took a moment to honor me. And it was just, I cannot get over it. If you're listening, there are graduates on that call. If you're listening, you know who you are, and thank you for just making my heart like overflow. I love you so much. And anyway, that is to say, like, I'm in the fourth year of this program. And at that graduation, one of our community members asked, how I feel now compared to like when I started the program. And like, what has been coming forward for me a lot is just, it's like surprise and delight. Like, I just had no idea what I was getting myself into and how wonderful it would be and how successful it would be and how life-changing it would be for so many people. And I just have so much gratitude for that. And it just feels so purposeful and magical. And so that is continuing to unfold. I'm going to be re-recording some of the course content just because some of it I feel like needs a little updating. Like, I launched the course in 2020, so some of the videos are still like so good from 2020, but as I'm watching them, I'm like, wow, I look different. I've aged in the last 4 years. I've become a mom. My body looks different. I maybe talk differently. I've done like a whole new level of healing. So I want to re-record some of it, just by virtue of, and I've been re-recording some of it. Like, I re-recorded some every single year. I've updated some videos, but That's on the plan for this year. Yesterday, I just had a videographer come over and batch record a whole bunch of content for for social media and some of our informational videos and like video invitations for our program. So that was really fun, and I'm hoping to do more of that this year. And I am hoping to do like some in-person work. Where it stands right now, like things are still kind of in flow and unfolding, but it's all about the space. It's like finding the space is the hardest part for me. So, or has presented to be like the challenge. And so I'm kind of just waiting for the right space to present itself. And being that I have a 2-year-old who I still breastfeed to sleep, it's just a bit of a challenge. But that's a decision and value system that I'm pretty clear on not wavering from. So like I know I could like, schedule a retreat somewhere like tropical or, far from here, and like we could all go together and it would be really fun. But where I'm at right now, my value system is really like my son is only 2 years old once. He only needs me this much, for such a short amount of time in his life before he becomes ideally more self-sufficient and like he can take care of himself more, as he gets older, which is like what we want as parents, right? We want our kids to be able to rely on themselves, to have self-trust, to have self-responsibility, and to not be afraid of the world so that they can like show up in a space of feeling really like, yeah, connected to themselves and to their surroundings and responsible. So that being said, like with that being my goal, I know he's only going to be this like connected, like baby like for so long, and eventually he will want his space. And so while he's in this time of like really wanting that connection with me, I want to respond to that with connection. And that's the value system that I hold. So at some point, like 10 years from now, when my, when my child and future children are like of an older age, then, maybe that'll be the season where we're doing lots of like international retreats. But for now, the retreats close to home that aren't super disruptive to our regular family rhythm in support of my son is like ideal. And with that being said, like it's hard to find the circumstances that meet those requirements. So we will see. We'll see. But that would be really fun to do some more retreats this year. I really loved our retreats last year. And diving into that, it was just so nourishing. Yeah, I feel like those are the updates. I'm thinking of doing a workshop. Maybe this month or next month. I just did a little series on Instagram about fairy tales and psychology. And so many of our community members just resonated so much with it. And if you don't know, in college, I studied the psychology of transformation through the lens of fairy tales, folklore, and mythology, which is like part of Jungian psychology and mythic psychology. And I just find it so fascinating to see how these stories are repeated across the world, with like communities around the world sharing the same like metaphors and symbols and archetypal stories, and how those live within us and are representative in our own healing and lived experiences. And I just love it so much. So I'm thinking of doing a workshop on that, about how to view your life through the lens of a fairy tale to cultivate more meaning and understanding and magic. So stay tuned if that's something that you want to do. If you're on my mailing list or follow me on Instagram, you'll definitely hear about it if I do offer it. And with the ritual facilitator training, again, yeah, if you're on my mailing list or follow me on Instagram or Facebook, you'll hear about it there as well. Right now, if you go to the ritual facilitator website, which I'll put in the show notes, there is a way to add yourself to the waiting list. And then I'll like directly reach out to you just in case my newsletter gets sent to spam or the algorithm doesn't show my content to you on Instagram. That's a sure way that you'll hear about it. And then the Self-Love Coach Certification Program is starting on March 1st. So that's our next class. Our class after that will probably be May or June, something in there, depending on when I do the ritual facilitator. I launched both of them in January. Like I did a January 1st self-love coach class, and then I did January 11th ritual facilitator class, and I feel like I would rather space them out like a month rather than just a week. So yeah, I that's all in flow. There are some business owners who plan 4 months in advance for a year or two in advance, and I am a business owner who is in flow and each month unfolds with surprising magical things. That's just the way that I like to live my life. But yeah, it keeps me on my toes and it keeps you on your toes, I assume. And if you're interested in the Guided Rituals membership, and looking at what that is, there's a free trial always available. It's 7 days. And then if you want to stay on, if it vibes with you, if you like adding that into your spiritual practice, it's literally $1.11 roughly per month. It's pretty, I'm serious, sorry, $1.11 per day. It's $33 a month. So it's pretty easy to fit into your budget if it's something that you want to prioritize. All right. I love you so much. I hope that you liked this life update. It was pretty vulnerable for me, but I've been listening to podcasts with leaders and coaches and mentors and guides out there who share their lives in this way. And like, I always find it really interesting and insightful and hearing about other people's journeys and how they're showing up, especially when they're living a life of similar values to me, allows me to like learn something and like implement new things into my life. And so I guess my hope is that you have a similar experience where, you know, maybe something I've shared about my personal journey, my healing, how I'm like some of my thought process, you know, in my self-love journey might be insightful and helpful to you. Or maybe it just feels like you're hanging out with a friend and catching up because, yeah, this is very similar conversations that I have to my friends. So anyway, I love you. Thank you so much for listening. And I would love to continue this conversation. So if you have anything that you want to share, any resources you want to share with me, anything that you think might be exciting to connect about, feel free to send me an email, melanie@melaniemonaco.com, or connect with me on Instagram or Facebook at the Self Love Lifestyle. And I would just love to hear from you. I've realized as a business owner, especially when I'm in like other communities, that I like when I'm in other communities that are like big. Even if like I love the content and I love the vibe, when like the person spearheading the community, like the person who's the creator of it, isn't like actively having conversations with the community members, like responding to Facebook posts and Facebook groups, or like, you know, maybe they have assistants who respond to their DMs, or, you know, like automatic responses to all their DMs, or they don't respond to their DMs at all. Like it really, like I've noticed it like rubs me the wrong way. Not because I'm judging them, because like good for them for having clear boundaries and like living life on their terms. Like I totally respect that. I realized it rubs me the wrong way because that's not how I want to do business. Like one of my favorite things about business is having those conversations with you all. So that being said, yeah, that's something I've learned recently, and it's just so interesting because I'm like, wow, like so many people show up so differently in their businesses, and maybe this will change over time for me, but like I just can't imagine a world in which I wouldn't want to like have these conversations with you, and a world in which I would want my business to grow like so like vast where I wouldn't be able to have these conversations with you. My business as it is now is like so cozy and sustainable and consistent and connected. And I just love that. So I'm just really grateful for you. And I guess all of that is to say, like, feel free to reach out. I do love it and I value it and I value you. And I hope to release some more podcast episodes soon. If you have anything you want to hear about, some things I've been thinking about talking about are like parenting more. Like, I don't really talk too much about my parenting philosophies, but I've learned so much, especially like I do a lot of Waldorf parenting, and I just love those methodologies. So if you want me to talk about that more, I'd be happy to. I've been in process of like reestablishing my relationship with my husband, which if any of you are parents to young children, you know that not always, but having a child can completely change your relationship. So, you know, we're in process. There are certainly things that I've learned that we could talk about. What else? I've been really interested in talking about like some of the sustainable and non-toxic things that I bring into my home. Like I'm no, by no means like product influencer. I just realized like I've integrated so much of that into my household, and I think it's a huge part of like the way that I live my lifestyle in a sacred ceremonial way means using products that feel cleaner and more sustainable and friendlier to the planet, to my body. And so we can talk about like non-toxic living and why that's an important part of spirituality, and so much more. So if there's any topic that sparks your interest or anything you want to hear about in this like really more candid friend conversation way, because obviously in a podcast like this is casual and candid, it's not like a formal workshop. So it's really just me musing on whatever topic might bring you some inspiration and insight. So if there's anything you want to hear about, feel free to let me know and reach out. I hope you enjoyed this, and send me a message, and have a beautiful, magical rest of your day.